Hey guys, good Monday morning. What's up? What's up? What's up? Ooh, rainy. We got a rainy day out here in the Northeast. It is 7:18 in the mañana. What's going on, guys? So I'm your boy, QUOTA Wayne. Whatever you want to call me, Dick Nose. Well, it's all good. It's just fucking witches. So anyway, I'm your host, Wayne. Just kicking it. So I don't know if you guys, I mean, obviously you must have heard, or I don't know, I know some of you guys are busy and doing your thing, so I don't mind bringing some of the news to you. So first, just a few things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Trump. You know, first, he was going to take the stand, now he's not going to take the stand in his upcoming civil trial. I'm sure you heard about Liz McGill, the Penn State president that had to resign because of her remarks on Wednesday about anti-Semitism. She was pretty much saying that Mrs. Stenfink, I think I'm pronouncing her right, her name right, Stenfink, she's a congresswoman, and she laid into this lady that no matter what lawyerly response that she was going to give her, she wasn't taken other than yes for an answer. She wasn't taking no for an answer. She says, you're going to say yes, and I'm going to make you say yes. So she really ran one up one side and down the other of this lady, and then proceeds to go on to the president of MIT, and I think MIT, Harvard, Penn was there. And the reason why they're bringing these people up and the presidents of these universities and these major, major lobbying institutions, okay? That's what they are. They're lobbying institutions, and, you know, they are no different than, say, the Democrats, how they hate the NRA, how the NRA, you know, lobbies all kinds of ideas to their senators and things that they want done. So, you know, it's not just a glitch in the matrix to where we have a whole sitting body supporting Palestine in their heinous acts and the brutal atrocities they commit. I guess that is okay in the eyes of these institutions now. As to where 2 years ago, if you found a lone gunman going into a synagogue and lighting that up like 4th of July, and whoa, wait a minute, it was we were good with the Israelis then. So this fundamental shift has just only occurred recently, because we always been in support of Israel. But the one thing I want to say is that this is why YouTube, Facebook, Google. If you think that I'll tell you when the CIA and the Department of Justice got involved with these companies. Now, if you ever watched Facebook's movie, with that kid with the curly hair, I can't think of his name right now. But what happened in that movie was there was a point where the federal government, the FBI, came to him and said, "Hey, look it, you don't know what the fuck you just caused by making this. All right, you've created a lot of problems to the point where terrorists could act like a kid and send stuff on the internet. They could pollute messages. They could sway presidents' decisions. Keep that in mind. They could sway presidents' decisions. This is all in the beginning of Facebook, Google, and all these big tech companies, Apple, the whole kit and caboodle. They said to them, look, you're gonna allow us to get into your system. Okay, you're pretty much, your business is not your business no more. We're taking it over. And do you know why? Because you created something that you should have never created. You opened up Pandora's box. So now we have to put a dragnet on this whole fucking thing, because you've let so many avenues for other people to do things. You know, and I'm sure a lot of, like, if I was a criminal, so I looked at this and I says, wow, they're going to let us text. And they're not going to read these texts. That means, like, if the cops are coming, I can send a text and don't have to make a call. So that means it's not recorded. Text messages were not recorded in the beginning. Okay? So if you wanted to go get a transcript of the calls, you couldn't get a text message. Text messages you couldn't get a subpoena for. They weren't saving those, because the data and all the data centers had to be built first. So before we could get our hands around the whole data, this shit took off. And that's why in the early days of Facebook, you had people saying pussy. You had, like, I had fights. People were fighting. They were calling their mother. They were saying the most dirtiest thing. You think it's bad now. There was no regulation then. So we had people talking, like, crazy. Go fuck your mother. I hope she drowns. Keep my foot over her head. I mean, no, there was no quorum for how people should act on the internet. So what happened is the government seen this and they said, oh, fuck. Not only are we going to have pretty much a civil war if this keeps going on and we have no regulations and these words just penetrate people's mainframes constantly for the next millennia, we can't have it. And we're only in the beginnings of this technology. So that's then. In that movie, they came to him. They made a sit down with him and said, look, you're going to allow us to get in and out of that fucking mainframe when we want. So you got it? And that's how that happened. So from then on, so in the beginning, you know, I'm not saying the movie is true, but if you look at it in totality, something did happen because you would have all type of people have become terrorists, criminals, you know, fights, all this shit. So that's why they said, hey, look, you know, you start saying this and that, you're going to get fined or kicked off or this, that. And they started doing some kind of restriction on it to be to just cool tempers because nobody had a fucking behavioral sense on how to behave on these things. So now you look at it and you see that that is true, because if you looked at the problem with Apple they had about 8 years ago when they wanted to get inside somebody's phone, I forget what it was, like the bombing guy that was in the TNT building, I think. They got his phone and Apple wouldn't open it up because of citing privacy laws. So I think eventually Apple did open up the phone for him, but these were the things that, you know, Apple was trying to do. Now that they knew that people, they were going in on the phones, they said, okay, well, maybe we can make a business by not letting them in the phones. So they made this big hoopla, and it was just a marketing stunt because all you heard was Apple for that week. And so now, when all that was happening, just stay with me. I know I'm taking a little long to come to my point. That was the early days of tech. What did we have also early days of? YouTube. So when YouTube first came out, we had a lot of videos of Illuminati, conspiracy theories, Jewish people around the world, and so on and so forth. So we had 20 years, two decades of brainwashed on people telling you that, you know, hey, I don't have no, this is a disclaimer first, guys. Like, I have no skin in this game, like, right? All right, I'm not Jewish, I'm not Palestinian, I don't have no family over there on either side, okay? So I understand where the Palestinians are coming from. I understand the Balfour Accord, I get it. But during the 20 years, the two decades of hearing, you know, Rothschild on your YouTube and polluting kids' minds by saying, here, look at this, is the Balfour Accord, and I got it framed right here in my living room, and this is the one piece of opportunism that ever came about in the world. Now pause. Now you hear what he just said? He says this is the major point of opportunism. So they seen an opportunity where they could create a country within inside another country, and specifically for one people. Now, you would hear stuff on the YouTube about Israel saying, you know, hey, everybody makes food. You know, the world serves us. They make food for us, which is kosher foods. We have our own Christmas time. We have our own food. We have our own Christmas. We have our own holidays. We have our own Bible. We have our own God. You know what I mean? And all the world's people will serve us. Now, what do? We protect Israel. Now, all this stuff, this type of rhetoric was getting spewed over the internet. And kids, young minds were eating this up. Okay? So, you know, it started to become Jews ran the world, from Nickelodeon to politics. And politics all the way down to drug addicts, okay? So Now, fast forward 20 years, you're starting to see all of those seeds that were planted starting to bear fruit. Because now all of a sudden you have everybody in their world, and especially Democrats, which Democrats were the biggest supporters of Israel, right, are now against Israel and for Palestine. So how did it, where did it shift? Where did it shift? Because there was no YouTube video saying things about Palestine. If there was Palestinians involved in some of the Illuminati like the Jews were, then there wouldn't, nobody would be taking sides. They'd say fucking kill them all, right? But so where there was nothing being said bad, on the contrary to the Palestinians, people looked at them like, oh wow, you know, believe it or not, these people are getting fucking oofed. And they are getting oofed. If you look at it, you know, hey, look at it. At the end of the day, what's right is right, right? So I look at it this. This is my car. If you was to come inside my car and say, okay, the front seats are Israel and the rest of the car is Palestine, I'd say, go fuck yourself. This is my car. This whole car is Palestine. How about that? Okay? It's Weinstein. So you get where the Palestinians are coming from. Now, other than that, that's the simple version. But there's much more deeper versions, and I can't go into it because it's just too much for right now, and we wouldn't have the time to cover all of it and do it a real good justice like we need to. But there is a lot of sectors in Palestine. There's a lot of religions. You got the Persians, you got the Sunnis, you got the Shiites, Kurds, and they're all Muslims, okay? So, you know, in this point that I'm making about, you know, colleges that are in support of Palestine right now are practicing everything that Hitler used to practice, right? So when you have the president, McGill, up there and she says, you know, does this constitute genocide? And she's trying to say, put in what context? Well, let's put it in the context of the Jews that happened in history. What happened to all the Jews in history? They were murdered and there was a Holocaust. Okay, so in that context, and if we used to just fast forward 20 years and you see this context and about the writing, is it fair to say that they're wishing genocide on a people? And she's like, well, if the context becomes action, then it would be harassment. Like, you know, and she's trying to do these lawyer responses. Now, here's the deal. These people don't have a degree in social economics. They don't have a degree in this. No, they just have a degree in being a lawyer. So they don't know all about the fundamentals of what goes in on thought processes on people. No, they just know how to respond in defense of their statements and how to know how to twist words and put a word salad out there that nobody understands. And at the end of the day, they're really saying fucking nothing. So when you say, oh, put it in this context, put it in that context. Listen, Mrs. Steenfunk said it plainly. Is it fucking genocide, yes or no? It's a clear-cut question. All of you people dancing around this shit is ridiculous. And that's the one thing I can't stand about politics, and I'm sure you guys can't stand about it either. It's just the political responses they give. None of them want to stand on their own convictions. And it's sad. Because, you know, you people are supposed to be the leaders of our country and show us, you know, what leaders are all about. You guys double talk. You kind of talk out of both sides of your fucking fades. You know, Biden doesn't want a wall. Now he wants a wall. Fucci. You can, don't wear the mask. It don't work. Now wear the mask. Oh, don't wear the mask. Oh, but wear the mask. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, you people make these conspiracy theories come to life so easily that it's not the world that's got it fucked up. It's you guys that got it fucked up. So all our colleges in America are practicing pretty much what Hitler was practicing. You have people raising Palestinian flags and in honor ceremonies in the front of these campuses and colleges that your mother and fathers put the money up for you to get a better education, better than a lot of the average people, because you ain't going to be average. You're going to get a higher learning and education. You're breaking the paper ceiling that some kids will have to face 30 years from now, and you're facing it now with the help of your mom and dad to get you a better life in the country that you think is a fucking an oppressive country. well, let's do this. Once you quit fucking college, get on the first thing smoking over to Palestine. Matter of fact, I will put up three flights. I can afford three flights, one-way trip tickets to Palestine for three lucky souls that want to go over to Palestine and go to the West Bank and start cheering on the Hamas. Okay? I'll even give you a green bandana, all right? And you just write, infidel for Hamas, and see how long you last out there, okay? I wish you all the best. I understand your friends over there need you, and you have to go. So let me not stop you. Let me let you go. I never thought I'd see the day. I mean, you know, and that's the thing, too, is like 9/11 came, and there was, what, a reports of seven dancers dancing Israelis. That is true. Okay, so now, if you just want to, we'll peel one skin of this onion and then I'll leave it there and we can come back to this on another podcast. During 9/11, there was a report of seven dancing Israelis, okay? Now, if you say, well, why would Israelis be dancing on 9/11? Okay, now Israel and America supposedly have this really good tight bond and truce. At the end of the day, I really feel that they're both out to exterminate each other's country. Why do I say that? It's because we have little blips of how Mossad might be doing this, or Mossad might be doing that, how America is, you know, like, even if you look at it now, you see how everybody's trying to help Hamas, even America. Oh, we wanted to cease fire, But yeah, we understand where the Israelis are coming from, but we wanted to cease fire. Getting aid in, it seemed like America had a lot of support for the Palestinians, more so than the Israelis. So they would double talk. You'd have Anthony Blinken up there saying, we understand the tragedies that's going on in the West Bank, in Gaza, the hospitals, the famine, the food, all that we need, we have to get in there. But we got to understand that Israel was attacked, a month ago. So as every day goes by, it's another day that Israel has to fight for the narrative of this whole war. Okay, so it's really starting to become a real, real shit show, and whether under the surface, is Israel and the United States somewhat kind of foes? I don't know. Let's say that, Israel and America knew exactly this thing was coming. They knew exactly this thing was coming. Listen, there's not a fucking skyscraper to be had in a fucking 2,000-mile radius until you get to Abu Dhabi. All right? And you're telling me these people couldn't fucking figure out that there was some fucking guys in green bandanas flying around in a kite in a part of the area where there's not a building, so obstruction, obstruction is not a fucking problem. So you're telling me you couldn't see these guys practicing a little fucking attack on inside the West Bank? And I know most of the training was done in Syria and things like that, but listen, we have the best intelligence. We have human intelligence down on these grounds. I mean, we have people in the field right now. I'm sure Mossad has a couple people in Hamas right now. That's what you guys got to remember, is at the end of the day, this is a game. And we have Russian spies in America right now, maybe inside of our government along with Chinese. And so doesn't America have Chinese spies in their country and Russian spies. We have spies everywhere. Okay? We do. You just got to trust that. But just to reiterate, I think anybody that's going to college, to any one of these colleges, have to stop pulling back their money. I mean, we're talking endowments. This lady Liz made $23 million from Penn State over the last 10 years. She didn't want to leave. It's a lot of money right there. $23 million knows nothing. Nothing. So moving on, guys, what do you guys think about the $7 million man, bro? Shinua, Shinui. That Chinese dude, I heard he's like an alien as well. I mean, there hasn't been this much hype since for Major League Baseball than Barry Bonds. I mean, they're saying this new kid from Japan is up there with the likes of Babe Ruth right now. So they're already putting him in good company. Obviously, the pressure's on for him to succeed. So it seems, I don't know if it's the Angels that signed him or the Dodgers, but I feel that the Dodgers made a real good a good contract or tried to get him. But at the end of the day, I think he's either with the Angels or the Dodgers, $700 million for 10 fucking years. Imagine, maybe on the ninth year, you can either opt in or opt out. That's insane. $700 million. It only goes to show that in 30 years from now, these most superstars playing sports right now are going to be making baseline dollars of a half a billion bucks. I mean, that's insane. That's insane. Do you know how much money that the fucking his agent's going to receive out of that $700 million? Ay, ay, ay. He's going to get $150 million bucks easy, the agent. I think he gets like an eighth or a quarter of So this kid's going to play for 10 years. He's going to give half of it to the American government right off the rip. So he's going to come out with, say, probably about $400, $500 million after half a billion dollars after all the, you know, all the money he makes outside the field, the sponsors. Ay, 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 the money. And I remember my aunt telling me, she's like, you know, your kids should get into sports. You should get into sports. They're going to get paid an enormous amount of money, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars if they're putting them on the video. Because she's seen them on the video games, and she had a little understanding that they'd have to get royalties and things like that. And she goes, they can't just use that guy. They have to pay him to use his name on there and all this other shit. I'm like, wow. And, of course, when you're young, you don't understand this stuff. And I guess that's another thing, you know, if you're having kids and you're, you know, you passed your prime and you made some dumb decisions and you didn't really think right, like say maybe I did, and you're fighting to make your retirement now, you know, in your 40s, and you got a kid, the best thing to do is just show him about money, save. So I've been saying this to my son for a while, last couple of years, you know, and I know kids, you know, my son just turned 5 the other day, so, this is Wayne. He goes, so we got out of the store, and he goes, Dad, you know what I'm gonna do? He goes, I'm gonna get all my money, I'm gonna save all my money until I get $100, and then I'm gonna spend all of it except for a little bit just to keep some more. And I says, oh really, buddy? I says, yeah. I says, the more you save and the less you spend, it's good. I says, so even if you had $100 in your bank, you could buy 20 cars. Wait 1 week and you could buy another 20 more cars. It's always like that saying, hey, would you take $10 now or $100 in 3 days? Do you know what I mean? It's saying that, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, well, in 3 days I'm gonna make $100. If I was to get $10 a day, I'm only making $30. So why not just wait the 3 days and get the $100 and you make a percentage of 70% more than you would if you didn't wait. You know, I give you $10, you know, I can either give you $10 today or I can give you $100 in 3 days. Which one? A lot of people will jump on the fact that I can get $10 today. It all depends on your situation. My son would rather wait the 3 days and get $100 because, one, he doesn't have to worry about paying rent. He's a kid. You know, these are the things that you would say to your kid and find out what their response is going to be to figure out exactly how they're thinking, you know. And, of course, you ain't going to be able to get any kind of breakthroughs at 5 years old. You know, I'm not saying that my kid's a fucking an indigo baby. So, $700 million, man. What other news we got in this world going on, folks? Hey guys, welcome back. So I want to talk about President Zelensky. I think it's time for President Zelensky to give the eastern parts of Ukraine to Russia. Okay, at this point, no matter, unless they get the air support, unless they had air support or the other capabilities that they need, radar capabilities, service to air missiles, and along with, and they also need some fighter jets. They got fighter jets, they would be able to crawl back some of their territory. It doesn't look like that is going to happen, because the thing is that a lot of you, I'm sure, are very versed in NATO. Attack on one is attack on all, okay? So where we just allowed Ukraine to join NATO, their full membership wouldn't start, I think, for another year, but they have a lot of perks. So now that they're a NATO member, if they got attacked or they're in a war, which is they're having currently now, that would draw everybody that's a member of NATO into that war, okay? Attack on one is attack on all. Now, NATO doesn't say, you know, when the U.S. went to Iraq, they didn't say, okay, well, you're going to put 60,000 up, we're going to match you by 60,000 troops. So Germany didn't match with 60,000 troops. The only country that really had a good amount of troops in there was England, okay? So it seems like the strong NATO partners are England, Canada, America, you know, that have robust armies. And so just keep that in the back of your mind when, you know, Germany or somebody wants to join NATO. That is just the military part. The economical part of that is when they want to become a member, I think they have to, they can't go into the American and the EU markets or the other markets of NATO until for like 5 years or so. And then after that, then they could sell their products on the EU and American markets. But it's like paying dues. The country has to pay dues before they can really relish in all the benefits of being into NATO. So it's like, yeah, you want to become NATO, a part of NATO, that's great. But all of us are going to get a piece of your country for about 5 years, okay? We're going to sell all our products and stuff. Every member in NATO will be able to sell their products in your country. And you won't be able to export anything for about 5 years. But you'll get the security is right off the rip. You get this right off the rip, that off the rip, yada, yada, yada. Some countries that are formed very well, you know, sustainable in their democracies and how far they came along, they might be able to take that hit for 5 years and say, okay, yeah, I can let you guys take, you know, kind of take advantage of my country for 5 years, and then, you know, we all break bread. And I guess I don't know what it is. It's like a trial thing. It's like, you know, because some people could go into a group and then say, all right, well, I'm leaving the group. You know what I mean? After they made some money. Because of, you know, they made it, they got a good, their GDP went up by 25% because they were able to go in all these other markets with their product. Okay, so it, you know, there's the little advantage that NATO has, and then they want to see the contrition. You know, like, what are you about? How is your country? How is it built? If you think you're sustainable to sustain, you know, the same economy, GDP growth. For 5 years, while we're set, because of course you're gonna sell, you know Heinz ketchup or whatever. People in that country is, oh wow, now we got some American products. That also helps with that country's GDP because it's getting sold in their country, and so on and so forth. So it's not like it's a total, you know, no win for everybody. Everybody's gonna get a piece of the pie. But once after 5 years is up, then next thing you know, now NATO, now Ukraine has a good chance to, you know, they were able to put their products on the market. And now somebody says, oh, Jesus, you know, this oil is delicious, or, you know, this alcohol is delicious, or whatever it is. And it gets sold in America, and there you go. That is somewhat some of the rules in NATO. It's, you know, and they, because their NATO wants to see how, if you're about it, what you say, if you're not going to, you know, get the start a war, get a protections, you know, right away. And say, oh yeah, well now this country can go start, now I can go start a war with my enemy because now I got all these allies. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of little levers, if you will, that you got to hit before you can really get the real benefit of being a NATO member. So, now, with that being said, that's why I tell it's time for Zelensky to say, okay, you know what? Hey, you know, you might have not have won this battle, but you can win the war. You know what I mean? This is just a battle of a lot of wars to come. So now that he's a member of NATO, I would take the eastern. I would draw up a plan and say, okay, look, let's take the eastern Donbass region of Ukraine, okay, which is pretty much slums and ghettos. If you know any part of Ukraine, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna make what North Korea has a little bit of a buffer zone, okay, and that would appease Putin, because first off, it's a buffer zone and it's a little bit of a space between, you know, NATO and them, because Russia's very worried about NATO getting close to their borders. And you know, in all aspect, in all fairness, they do. They have a right to do that. And a right to say that. And I'm sure North Korea and South Korea had that. They said, hey, listen, they can launch a fucking missile at any point, so let's just have a buffer zone, a demilitarized zone, to where, you know, anything political has to be done is in here. And so on and so forth. It just allows for that understanding to be more clear, have more clarity. And I think that's what Ukraine and Russia should do, is make a buffer zone region in the eastern part of Ukraine. This way here, because they're not going to win. If they get the fucking air power, great, yeah. But America's not going to give them air power because they're a NATO member. Now we have a full fucking blown war, all right? That's not going to fly. You know what I mean? That's just not going to fly. So at the end of the day, they're going to have to tell Zelensky, hey, look, you're going to have to take this loss right now, take this L, and then maybe in years to come, you can take this land over. But for right now, to get your people back and to get your cities back going and your economy going, because remember, you have 5 years of us pumping our shit in your country. And at the end of the day, you know, you're working with fucking shit fucking for anything. You're working, you know what I mean? So let's get the country back in order. Let's get your economy going. You know what I mean? And let's do this. And then in the next, if something happens, and then Russia, because now Putin is gonna make, Putin's in the middle of gonna have to start going for re-election. So he's gonna have a lot of battles that he's gonna have to put out, a lot of fires he's gonna have to put out to at least get thought of for re-election. So with that being said, it would look like a win for Putin. Okay, and it would look like a win for Zelensky. It would be a loss for sure. Okay, let's be real. It would be a loss. Yeah, it'd be a loss. But the thing is that there's always a chance to get that territory back, with inside the treaty and the peace talk. Hey, what the fuck is going on? With the peace treaty, we can. This kid's a fucking tough, huh? Imagine. This kid's a real, look at him. Sitting there drinking his coffee. He's at the office. He's at the office having another drink. Yeah. He's in there there you go. Too busy fucking mowing on that fucking cheesecake of yours, huh? Can't fucking keep an eye on the fucking road. Please don't go on the highway. Yeah, he's going. Oh, fuck. What a mess. What a fucking mess, this guy. Anyway, make the buffer zone in fucking Ukraine. Sorry about the pause, guys. New people in New Hampshire cannot fucking drive. I'm telling you. I am telling you. I wish there was a big movement. Somebody said, fucking Wayne in New Hampshire said, you guys cannot drive. Can't. They cannot drive. They drive like fucking imbeciles. And they never use their blinker. Never, ever use their blinker. Ever. Never use their fucking blinker. Now, how's it? And I got my camera. 6 minutes. What is it? I got this action camera, guys. Tell me about what's going on. I get the action camera, and it's like it should be like 10 minutes, and then it's like it starts over again or something. What's up with that? What's it, just a loop or something? Jesus Christ. No more money for him. You know, he and then he has the nerve to come to fucking Washington and say, oh, yeah, you know, looking for a handle. Like, I need money. I need more of this, more of that. Listen, Zelensky, listen, don't. Look, you're making no headwind in there, okay? And if, you know, at the end of the day, that army of Russia is fucking stupid. So let's just give them the eastern part of Ukraine, build up your military, and then if you wanted to, put in the treaty with 10 years of this going, this treaty in 10 years, we'll have a chance to then buy back or be able to fight for whatever comes necessary to get this land back into Ukrainian hands. You know what I mean? So, you know, and then that would allow Zelensky to start buying some military planes, getting some more ammunition, getting the right stuff that he needs, you know, building up his forces, his guys, giving him better nutrition, better housing, this, that, might beef up his numbers, you know, all this stuff that is all more positive. So take a short L in the battle to win the war. That's my go at it, you know what I mean? I don't know, maybe I'm just a fucking idiot, but... So I wanted to also, real quick, I wanted to make this statement. If there's anybody that knows anybody that's rich, yeah, you're a fucking soft guy. If you know anybody that's rich, and want to put in on an idea, I have this great, great idea. It'd give us an idea whether your loved one, whoever that may be, let's just say somebody wants to know if they're going to be able to be addicted to drugs. Do you know what I mean? Because we have a huge, serious opioid epidemic, right? So let's just say that there was a way that I could tell you that, hey, you know what? After this test, I can give you an idea whether, hey, if you take an opioid, you're going to probably most likely become an addict. And if you ever shoot dope, oh, God forbid, you're going to be done. Okay, so these are the things. I grew up, my mother was an addict, a lot of my family was. I am a recovering addict. And so the thing is I started, you know, these were the questions that I had. I says, well, Jesus, how would I know? You know, I used to ask this, I used to have a big brother program, and he'd come take me out, and we'd go to get some pizza, and he'd say, well, what's one of the things you fear, Wayne? And I says, I don't know, becoming an addict. And he goes, really? I says, yeah. I says, my mother's one. My father's, you know, gone, but he was an alcoholic. I just wonder if I'm, they talk about these genes and things. I wonder if it's going to happen to me. So, and I think if we had this test, it would have gave us... Would give us the understanding what we needed to know, and the tools to say, hey, look, this feeling that I'm getting from a medication is gonna, I'm gonna like this too much because I took that test. Do you know what I mean? It's just gonna give you an understanding of what you like and what you don't like. Now, to me, that is a huge, 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 huge breakthrough in opioid addiction. Let's just say there was somebody that was sober for years on end, okay? And they were like, hey, you know, I've been sober. I want to see if I can take the evils of somebody shooting dope or in front of me. Would I want to do it too? Or will I be safe from that? Take the test. I give them this test. And that would allow me to and allow them to know where they at in their recovery. In what stages of saying, hey, you know what, that's a feeling I used to like, but I don't really care for that no more. Or, Jesus, you know what, that feeling hasn't let, that monster hasn't left me yet, and I still remember it too clearly that I can't. I still have to stay with my sober services. Do you know what I mean? And that would have less chance for people to relapse. You have people that had the tools to understand, hey, you know what? I like this feeling too much, and this is going to be a problem for me. So I want to stay away from these kinds of medications. Do you know what I'm saying? And if you find yourself, and I know one other drug, I know, well, not a drug, I know a medicine that you can inhale, ingest, rub on, like marijuana, and that will give you some of the effects of what I'm talking about here. All right, so I don't want to go into too deep because it's a technology, it's a test that already exists. So all you have to do is just take that test and put it under a whole new LLC and you're fine. This is a simple thing. There is not a lot of money involved in this. Okay? It's the proof of concept is already made for me. That's how I came up with the idea. I says if I only knew that this is what it felt like. Because that's what it is. You don't know if you're gonna like the feeling of getting high, right? Well, if you take this test, you're going to tell me, hey, I like that feeling. Okay, well, if you like that feeling, you want to stay away from these drugs, brother, because you're going to become a serious addict, okay? And the people that don't are the people that obviously are probably straight edges, you know, don't smoke cigarettes, don't even drink or anything, you know what I mean? And because they don't like to be their body in an altered state or a euphoric state. So the test is really good. It's a big breakthrough. And again, this already exists. So to go around the copyright laws, all we have to do is, buy the technology, which is or license it ourselves for $100,000. I mean, and it'd blow your mind to find out what I'm talking about. But it already exists, and I'm just looking at somebody. Even if you don't want to put up any money, that's fine. Just tell me how I can go about doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, please, like somebody that really knows. You have to sign an NDA, so don't act like this is going to be some fucking bullshit. I need to sign an NDA signed by my lawyer, you know, and then we can talk, and you can tell me how I can get this in my hands, make it how I want, make it to where, put it in a business and under a name that it's all good, and literally just pretty much just do exactly what they're doing now, and then just ask the person how did that make you feel. Oh, I don't like that. I don't ever want to do that again. Great, y'all. Most likely you got high margins to never become an addict. Somebody comes out, oh man, I like that feeling. Let's go. Oh man. Okay, you got 100% chance to probably become an addict, so you might want to stay away from that type of stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's just like that, man. It's just like that. It's just like that. So anyway, again, and I have another idea. It involves sports. I'll get that idea out to you on the next episode. Hey guys, stay up. I love yous. Be good to one another. We'll talk on the flip. Peace.